I'd like to call to order this meeting of Taney County Commission, November 3rd, 2011. Our first order of business for the day is agenda review. Nikki?
I have a request for community involvement activity discussion. You asked for that to be placed on Monday.
Do we have time on Monday? Mm-hmm. I really only need about 10 minutes. What I want to talk about is the hopes of securing this commission's approval to set up a meeting with all political subdivisions within the county, with the schools, the fire districts, the water districts, the cities, health center, ambulance, etc., in hopes that we can have a general discussion regarding the future. And ultimate goal would be that all political subdivisions would start meeting on a regular basis, whether that's once a month or once every 2 months, in hopes that we could learn a little bit about one another, what's going on in the city of Hollister, what's going on in Taneyville, what's going on in the health center, the senior citizens, that we could understand better how each entity works, what their challenges are, what their goals are, and that by doing that, where we have overlapping lines of jurisdiction or and challenges, that we can begin to collaborate together and work together. So that's what the discussion Monday would be, if you all will allow that to go on the agenda.
That's fine.
That's fine.
Ms. Neely emailed me asking for abatements and court orders to go on every Thursday to the end of the year.
Is there current abatements pending?
She said there was, yes.
Okay.
You're asking to put this on the agenda for discussion Monday?
Yes.
I don't have a problem with that.
It's fine.
James Strahan contacted the office asking to put Veterans Resolution on the agenda.
We currently have a request out for council to see if, in fact, we can do what was requested, but I don't have a problem putting it on the agenda. It's up to you all.
Doesn't make me any difference.
Yeah. I mean, council's going to dictate what we can and can't do, so.
Okay.
I need to make a follow-up call on that, too, to Frank, so remind me about that later, if you will,
okay,
prior to us going into budget.
Okay. Do you have anything else you'd like to schedule for next week?
Budget.
Everything else is just regular agendized items, right?
Yes. Okay.
Thank you. Nikki, what do we have on this morning's agenda besides redistricting?
Just budget.
Okay.
At 10.
Next topic of discussion is redistricting, and what this is a requirement under state law that county commissions realign their districts when they're out of sync, so to speak, because of population. It is the duty and responsibility of the county commissions to keep two districts within the county as equal in population as possible, so that District 1 and District 2, that's what they're formally called statutorily, have the same amount of people within the district. We have a policy for sign up that an individual must sign up before they can speak at a public hearing. Since this is going to be a longer period, I would like to ask this county commission if we could suspend that rule, and as people come in, if they hear something and they want to speak, that they be allowed to sign the register and then go ahead and speak during the process. Is that all right?
That's all right. I would like to hold that to 5 minutes, and if someone else has already got up and spoke basically what they're going to say, then maybe get up and announce that I have the same feeling as so-and-so, and then that way it doesn't drag into a repetitive conversation.
And then the only follow-up would be, in, because of the large group, to make sure everyone gets to speak at least once before
right.
we have repeats and all that.
Right.
So.
Is that all right with you?
That's fine.
So what the policy will be then is we will allow anyone during this time to come forward and sign up if they choose to do so, to speak during the time that we're conducting the public hearing, and we would ask that you would hold that to 5 minutes. Danny, would you set this down on the table for anybody that would like to sign this, or you can sign it when you come up to speak if you haven't signed it.
You want me to put it on the podium?
Just, that'd be fine.
Yeah.
That'd be better.
Easier to get to.
Yeah. And they can sign it as they speak.
Do you need a pen? Is there a pen?
There's a pen.
Good.
Let me say this. We have for some time now gone through a number of drafts that we have looked at as a commission, some proposed through the county clerk's office, others I have asked mapping to help me, or IS department to help me, if you will, with thoughts on potential boundary lines for districts, and some have been developed because public participation has come and said, what do you think about this? And we have asked that IS draw the map for us so that we can look at it and see if it fits the requirements. The requirements have nothing to do with geography. They have everything to do with population. The requirements are simple. The statute is simple. And it says the county court, which is what the commission was called years ago before the General Assembly changed that, shall be known as the county commission and shall be composed of 3 members to be styled commissioners of the county. And each county shall be districted by the commissions thereof into 2 districts of contiguous territory as nearly equal in population as practicable without dividing municipal townships. There was a court ruling sometime later that stated it would be unconstitutional to include the provision of not being able to divide municipal townships. So really, the commission has the freedom to draw the lines. At least that's the opinion that's been given to us at the commission's discretion. This is a volatile issue. Volatile in that people are personally affected on whether or not they feel they have certain rights or not going to have certain rights. There's been some misconceptions that have been out there regarding the districts, that once the districts are formed, 50% of county revenues must flow into that district. It's not true. Commission has the right, if they want, to spend 100% in one district and none in the other. That would not be a wise decision. It would be foolish. But the commission has the discretion as to where the dollars are needed to provide those dollars in the county for the services that need to be provided. While I say it's volatile, I know that because I've received 42 phone calls on this issue, and 3 of them were not nice phone calls. And ironically, my personal belief was the same as the person that was chatting with me about this particular issue. Although, our perspective is to remain objective about this until voting upon it and to hear what the public has to say and make a decision that we believe is in the best interest of all the citizens of the county. And that's what we've tried to do. We don't always agree on where we're headed with this particular issue, but that's also part of the process. And at the end of the day, we're going to make a decision, and that will be the decision of the county commission. We have set no hard, fast rule, nor taken a vote that we would vote on this issue today. But if there is a motion made and a second made today, we have the ability to finish this task, at least our part of it, today. And once that task is completed, then the clerk has the responsibility and the obligation to put everybody in the correct voting districts, etc. With that said, do you gentlemen have any comments before we take public comments?
Go ahead. You want to? I mean, obviously, the redistricting is a very sensitive matter to the public, and I had presented this to the Branson Alderman just as the two maps, and then I voiced my opinion of which one was I favoring because of the representatives. I represent the west side, and overwhelmingly they would like to see something better from a communication, and they thought that this, or the feedback I got was this was the what they would like to see to try to tie the two east and west closer together. This by no means was something to separate the two. And if I've offended anyone, I apologize. This is not meant to be personal about anybody or toward anyone. This was strictly another option that I wanted to present based off of the feedback I was getting from the citizens in my district. So, but I appreciate the process. I do appreciate everyone turning out and giving us, they're going to give us their opinion, which is part of the process, and I do appreciate that.
I would, before calling on anyone, actually, Danny, we need to have that so we can call. I'll go get it.
No way.
I would like that, as we enter into the discussion today, for each of you to stay focused on the issue of redistricting. That's what we're here for. That's what we want to hear. Our time is limited, and if you all speak, it's going to take a while. Although I encourage all of you that want to speak, please to do so. But let's stay focused on redistricting.
Ron, I was going to say something there.
Yes, sir. Right.
A lot of people are confused about the fact that they think that this is based on voter turnout, and it has nothing to do that with that. It's based on population. Patsy has done a great job organizing these maps. She's went through, I think we went through about 10 different maps that were drawn in different locations. Some of these come down to as many as 50 people in population. One of these maps does. The other one is, I've looked at about 10 of them. I can't remember what the other one is, but they have to be based close on population, not on voters. In the past, and I think it was something wrote in the paper about it or stated that the eastern population outvotes the western population, although the numbers in the west are larger than the numbers in the east. And for whatever reason that might be, that's just the way that it is. It's not based upon our redistricting process, as Ron read to you, is just to try to follow the law as close as we can, and to make this county a better place to live, and the representation be as equally divided as it can be.
Reverend Sutton.
Thank you for the time to speak and to address my people in Taneyville. I appreciate the work that you're doing. First off, I'm not here to axe anybody. I'm not here to scold anybody. I'm not here to straighten out anybody. I just have an opinion. And an opinion, to me, is my civil rights lets off where your nose begins and vice versa. I have the right to my opinion. You have the right to your opinion. But in reading some things and looking at some things, if the statute of the law is going to be fully fulfilled, then 4B is the closest that you have to anything that's on the table that I've seen or I've read in the paper. And I'm kind of like the man said, all I know is what I read in the paper sometimes. And sometimes that's not real good information. But in looking at east and west versus north and south, you know, we've had enough trouble with north and south stuff for so many years. It always has a bad stigma. It has a bad taste. It sets up a aura about us that I don't think we want. East and west does too. So, you know, we need to throw those things out. This is about voters. This is about representation. For myself, in reading in the paper and looking at things, one thing that really disturbed me is that it says that the Eastern District is historically higher in its voting turnout, and because of that, basically, a presiding commissioner is elected from the Western District. Has not been elected from the Western District, but means that the East side basically has two commissioners. And that's just voter turnout. People turn out. They have the right to vote. They shouldn't be punished for that, nor put into a different scenario where it would change that process. That is due process that's gone on for years. If they want to turn out and vote, that's their privilege. And I appreciate everyone that turns out. I wish everybody was registered. I wish everybody would vote. I wish everybody would run for city commission or county commission or whatever. But that's not going to happen. So it falls into y'all's hands to make a decision. I appreciate the time. I appreciate being able to come and say that as far as Taneyville is concerned, I think the voters in Taneyville and in that area, if they're thrown in with Branson, they're not going to vote. I've talked to them. I've talked to a lot of them. And it turns them off because they feel like they're outnumbered in anything that they do. I appreciate Branson, what Branson has done for our county, what they've done for our area. I appreciate all the businesses. I appreciate Silver Dollar City. I appreciate anything that helps our community. And that's what I'm here for, is do the best for my community. We're getting to be an elderly generation here. Voting is very important to the elderly generation, and we need to get the younger people registered to vote and to be vocal on these issues. So I appreciate your time. No axe to grind. See me in town. I'll greet you. I might even buy you a meal. Lord bless you.
Thank you. Bonnie Melton.
Thanks for allowing us to come in here and talk to you. I agree with him wholeheartedly about the people won't feel like they have a voice after they are combined with Branson. We feel the same way. And I thank you all for letting us state our facts, because we really feel like that we have no voice once we're combined. Thank you.
Glenn Amundson.
Good morning, gentlemen. I'm Glenn Amundson. I reside on Craig Road in Walnut Shade. I've been a resident of Taney County since 1979 and a resident of Walnut Shade since 1983. I've always been in the eastern side. And personally, there's a lot of things that have already been discussed. I won't waste the time. I do have one question. I'm not sure I understand the commission's goal in even proposing the north-south redistricting. It might have been answered. I'm not sure. I'm still trying to sort through it. I understand that there's a 1,500 to 2,000 difference in population, and that's why the proposed western redistricting has been redrawn to even that out. 50 people, 40 to 50 people, I don't think you can get too much closer than that to adhere to the mandate. Change is good, but I don't think the north-south boundary is good. Would this be fair to the rural eastern people of Taney County if you ended up with a commissioner elected from Hollister and or Branson? Personally, I don't think so. I sort of like the way things are right now. You know, Craig Road is not affected by any of the changes proposed. So I could have elected to just sit home and stoke the wood stove this morning, but I felt like I needed to come over and speak my piece. Just for the record, I am against the proposed north-south redistricting boundary, period. And I grew up as a young man learning that if something is not broken, then don't fix it. And that's my say, gentlemen. Thank you for your time.
Thanks, Glenn. Bob Shands?
The last few people saying just what I wanted to say. We've got a Mason-Dixon line. We don't need another one, north and south. I mean, this is stupid. There's a lot of history in the east and the west. There's families been here for years. They don't want to change. I mean, if you're going to do that, instead of the Branson Pirates, call them the Branson Pansies. Change the name. I mean, What does it make? So let's just keep it east and west, and I know a few people are going to be put in another district when you make the line to put them a few families, but let's keep it east and west. It's the best way to do it.
Thank you, Bob.
Thank you.
Ronnie Melton.
Ron, everything pretty well been said that I was going to say. I'd like to pass, and I agree with everything they said.
For the record, because Ron didn't come to the podium, he agrees with the speakers that have been up ahead of him. Josh Smith.
Gentlemen, thank you for letting me speak. When the maps were proposed, it kind of concerned me that, you know, redrawing them north and south, that's as stupid of a drawing as you can get. You could have picked one with a blank map, and it would have been better than that. You know, leave it the way it is. It's not broken. It works. Ron, I don't know if you can tell me, but I'd say being 50-50 split, the difference in people is probably the closest that any county in the state has. So if we can get it within 50-50, I commend you guys for that. And I'd be going to the news media proud to say that you guys have done the work to get it that close. Because I don't think there's another county that can say that, probably. And so I would encourage you, leave it the way it is. I've heard the rumors. I'm not for rumors. But, you know, the people that want the north and south, it's pro-city. That's what it is. That's what they want. They want pro-city. That's what they're pushing. And I just encourage you guys to look at the big picture and stay the way it is. That's the best thing that can be done for everybody countywide. A majority benefit, that will benefit the majority of the people to leave it the way it is. And I would encourage you guys to vote on it today in a public meeting before the people that are here and do the right thing. Put it to a vote today. One of you make a motion and vote on it this morning. Thank you, guys.
Thank you, Josh. Ron Hershend.
I'm glad it's you guys sitting up there, not me. I came today, I hadn't even seen the maps, and I appreciate all the great work that's been done. I'm going to be affected in one or two, I think, but that's not why I'm here. The north-south, and I think, Ron, you had an excellent point. It's really District 1, District 2, but the citizens tend to call it what they want. I think that the north-south concerns folks and is the greatest amount of change in the minds of people, because we are including Branson with Taneyville and everyone. And I would just encourage you all to, I mean, you have what appears to be three good options. I'd encourage you to pick the option that has the least negative impact on the citizens. I'd also ask the media to support you all and tell the whole story. I mean, how many years have we been an Eastern Taney County commissioner that's really representing 75% of the geographical county? It's been years. So it's not as easy as just saying the north half, south half, east half, west half. And the public ought to know that. You all have a tough chore. It's done every 10 years. And I think you have three good options. I just would hope that you pick the one that is more like what we're used to, because that'll cause the least amount of stress. Thank you.
Thank you. Ron's the last person that we have signed up. Is there anyone else that would like to speak to this issue? Danny, Jim, comments?
Are you looking for comments towards this particular issue? Are you looking for a motion?
Well, I want to know if you have comments about redistricting.
Well, redistricting.
If you wish to make a motion, chair is open to that. I just my question was, do you have comments?
Redistricting in the matter that I'm in favor of, which is the least amount of financial stress on the clerk's office. There's the least amount of change for her to get the voter registration. As we all know, when you go to vote in a certain area and you see that your neighbor's voting across the field from you on one side, and you're voting for somebody else on the other side, and especially when you hit the rural areas, we've done a lot of work on these maps to designate areas that are reflective of either roadways, creeks, or to designate where you know what district you live in, who represents you. And I think that's very important. I know that there's been some changes in some of these maps, because there was in one location, I know, three family members that lived in three rows of houses down the same street, and the one in the middle voted for the western district and the other two voted for the eastern district. And they had came to me and talked to me about the way the lines were drawn. So far, it's been very positive on the east-west proposal that has been presented to me. I've only had one person that has voiced an opinion the other way that has called me. I know there's other opinions out there, but that has called me and talked to me about it. And this has been something that affects us for another 10 years, and it's a decision that I feel different than some of the quotes that's been made and some of the quotes that's been made in the paper. As we're elected to represent, I was born in Kirbyville, raised there. I mean, in Kirbyville, taken and worked all my life in the city of Branson, 20 years as an electrician all over the county. But the rural representation is just as important as the one in the city of Branson, and we appreciate the revenue sources that they provide for the entire county. I'm ready to make a motion, but I'm going to let, if Mr. Strophas has something else to speak to, well then I'll let that happen.
You know, I do. I appreciate the process, and the people have spoken. I mean, once again, this is done once every 10 years. It's not popular, but I think part of our job is to give options and let everyone look at the different options versus just rubber stamp it and say, we're going to keep it the way it is. I think it's important for us to encourage this type of dialogue to make sure that we're going the right path in the right direction. There were some comments that were, you know, this is the proposed north-south is a big change. But once again, you know, Commissioner Strand's elected is representing the people that voted him in, and I'm representing the people that voted me in. And so, you know, it appears that obviously this crowd is very much pro the east-west, which is great, and I do appreciate everyone turning out. But once again, I believe my job was to represent the people from the west, which I believe that's what I've heard with the phone calls I've received and just coming to this process. Because like Danny said earlier, we went through about 10 different versions of maps. I know Patsy was printing out maps left and right at times, and you know, any suggestion came out, we would print a map and see how it looked. And this was just the two best that we had that we presented. There was a lot more than that. But once again, I appreciate everyone's comments and just appreciate the process, too.
Is there a motion? Once there is a motion, it'll be open for discussion.
I'm going to make a motion that we accept the proposed what they're calling the east-west boundary. I think that's 4B, and that we accept that as our redistricting lines.
Is there a second? I'll second the motion. Discussion. What a fun spot. Got a commissioner on the western side who's representing the people on the west, and a commissioner on the eastern side who's representing the people in his district. I've given this a tremendous amount of thought. I have talked to a tremendous amount of people. I've taken over, as I said, 40 phone calls on this. Some less stellar than others, but all in all, most informative. I've given thought to this for a very long time, and when I think back through the decades, the rift that exists between eastern part of Taney County and western part of Taney County, I don't believe is caused because of the lines that we have where commissioners are elected from. I think that there are major philosophical differences between the folks that live on the eastern side of the county and those that live in the western side. I believe that we need to be a part of the process to bring those two diverse philosophies together in many areas to where we can, in fact, create a better environment, a better community, and hopefully produce a county government that will be more effective and more efficient for the taxpayers of this county. I cannot think of an issue if we were to divide these lines and create a northern and southern district that would be more divisive towards that goal. As funny as that may seem, I cannot believe there is any issue that we could do or promote that would be more divisive. The thinking is ingrained in a number of people in the eastern side of the county, and I believe it has tremendous merit that we would never, in fact, if you lived in Bradleyville or Cedar Creek or Pro Tem or Kazee Mills or any of the small communities in the east, you would never get elected as a county commissioner. And we would be disenfranchising individuals' opportunity not just to run for office, they can run. But if you're in a community that has 100 people, and in that same community is a community, or in the same district is a community that has 6,000, 7,000 voters, your chances are not very good. Is it impossible? No. But it's highly improbable that individuals would not be elected from those areas. Now, there's also been a misconception that has existed for years that the commissioner on the western side and the commissioner on the eastern side of this county can only represent, only provide services for the people within that district, and that's not the case. This county commission has the ability to divide the county equally as far as overseeing roads and a number of other services that can be provided. As a matter of fact, I don't know any statutory requirement that says Jim has any more authority in the western district than Danny or me. Or vice versa. Danny has no more authority in the east than Jim or I. And as a matter of fact, I have no authority to act alone, and neither does Jim or Danny. It takes two commissioners to make a decision about anything. With that in mind, am going to, over the course of the next 3 years, do everything I can to promote this county looking at a charter form of county government. There are, I believe, four in the state of Missouri. All four are successful. All four have allowed the people of their county to write and build and construct a county government that's working great for the people of those counties. And I believe that we can do that here in Taney County. And I believe that we need to strive, at least, to see if that's a possibility. And I will be bringing that up to this commission formally and asking them to give every consideration. I've already asked the girls to secure plans that were developed in other counties that currently have executive branch and a legislative branch within their counties and call it a charter form of county government. But with that said, there is a motion on the floor to accept the traditional east-west lines that are drawn, which is formerly known as 4B. Is that correct, Patsy? Any more discussion, gentlemen? All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed, nay.
Nay.
Motion carries. Thank you all for your time and your comments. We have just budget workshop that is scheduled for 10. Let's stand in recess until 10.
I'm looking for that. I must have it in on the desk. But I'm confident that I have that information that you had asked for. I just need to put my fingers on it. I had asked that we talked about, and this is an agenda request form, credit card approval discussion.
Yes.
And so that was posted for today.
That's right.
We had just done an addendum to whatever policy that existed.
Yes.
That went out from Joanna.
Yes.
However, there are a lot of people out there that are acquiring those, so my question was, how do they acquire them, and who signs for them?
Okay.
Do we have a policy in place? And then Nikki just gave me this, who all has credit cards, which is here, so that we can go through if you prefer, and the card policy itself. And or we can discontinue this and do it another time, but I think that since we've asked everybody to sign before people get credit cards again, we need to say who is in authority to say that they can have one.
I think it probably is in the policy.
Is it department heads and elected officials?
Well, which is interesting because I think that there are some department heads and elected officials shouldn't have a card. So do we want them to be able to sign for
right,
their employees?
I think part. That's the way it's in there. So.
I see what you're saying. I'm the conversation's all starting to come back to. Sorry.
Go ahead. That's all right. That was why I thought that we should have a discussion about that.
What would be a better way to go about that, Ron? Maybe where we wouldn't receive. Why don't we send out to each elected official and see who in their department needs one other than each office?
Danny, I deal with it from this end. I had one of the department heads come in yesterday, and they were trying to get the cards that they had taken care of, and one of them had used their card over the year, and I said, well, you know, there's no reason for her to keep it, I don't think. Well, yeah, we can keep that in case she goes someplace and has to have it for going someplace. I said, well, you could probably have a card that you could send with you. It doesn't go any more than that. I didn't make any headway, even though that's the way I thought.
Well, when we made that other decision on the cards, that's the only week that I actually looked through the cards, because Joanna says it takes a lot of time to look. I couldn't even read the names, or most of them write about like I do. I didn't have any idea who signature was on there. So and then Joanna had the 5 or 6 that didn't have any itemized list, so she's got that part of it taken care of. It has to be an itemized before she will approve it, but at least be able to read the signature, who's doing what, if they have to print their name above it.
if they don't do any better than that, the city should have Prince by the way.
Yeah.
If, in fact, we have a change in vehicle policy, will all of these deputies need cars? If they're going to be purchased, if they're going to be getting their gasoline at pumps here or Western Barn or wherever it's set up?
Well, I guess
it's a good possibility.
I would say, by theory, the answer is no, but any deputy that we use for prisoner transport, will they actually leave the county?
Yeah, there's some. They don't know which ones they are.
Those are designated. So probably not every deputy would need one. But I guess it goes back to the original question. What's our policies right now about issuing cards?
It says all county obtaining elected officials. That's what it says. All county obtaining elected officials and employees are eligible to obtain a county purchasing card if their position requires them to make purchases for the county. Pure and simple. That's it.
I see. What we would like to see is, other than the sheriff's department, most of the departments could be this person's my purchasing.
Why don't we step back and ultimately, let me ask the question about the procurement policy we have. Ultimately, if we had an employee or whoever went and made a bunch of purchases, okay, and then ultimately did not, they were not county-related purchases, isn't the commission on the contract? I mean, aren't we ultimately responsible for the bill?
My belief is yes. That doesn't make it right, but
I'm not sure there's a possibility that could be considered fraud because the city fraud is great.
We're the ones that are on. We're the ones going to have to pay the bill, so that issue.
Wouldn't we be the ones that should be authorizing and deauthorizing credit card users?
It's my opinion.
I mean, we're not talking a bunch. We don't get requests very often, do we?
Once it's taken care of in the original situation, though.
Okay.
That's something you could get to just say that this is
what I don't understand is we have elected officials and we have department heads who purchase supplies or whatever and they utilize a credit card. Why can't we do that through a purchasing agent? Or what, for example, here, if I want to go somewhere and I'm going to have my room paid for, I can have her put it on the county credit card.
And we do that in our office too. I mean, every office could have that type of situation. I don't have a credit card. I don't want.
But here we got. Here's a state officer, state juvenile officer's got a county credit card.
How'd that happen? This, not that we're picking on them, but how? What was the process for them? Who signed off on them to get a card?
Under this policy, he would have signed off on it because he's a department head. Or
he would have said, I need a card.
And who else in the department? That's the way it goes.
Seems a little loose.
This procurement card deal all came but under Trustee Ron and myself and Chuck's watch. And Fresa took care of the distribution of cards, if I remember right.
To start with,
and that's when this was all wrote up, right?
It's been changed some day, you know, whether, you know, how much it's been
we
changed.
We amended.
She did the original, and we amended some.
We amended dollar amounts.
It's been amended also, I think, if I remember looking, when I looked for this, I believe when I decided to be amended in 2006. Also,
I guess my question is, how are we allowed to put a department without a name on it? That doesn't make sense to me. Because how do you sign it? I mean, like, for example, it says airport. Do you sign it at airport?
No, they sign their own name. And
but everybody uses it.
But the card needs to have the signature of the issue. You would have to sign an airport. If it says airport, it should be signed airport. I mean, that's what we have. We have the county clerk, maintenance, collector, accounts payable. It really needs to have a name on it.
who's authorizing the expenditure of that.
And I
we didn't issue the card to the airport. We issued it to Mark Parent.
And I believe Mark Parent's name would be the one who would be responsible for that.
So his name should be on the card, just like if it's on the clerk.
Dilemma, Jim. If we're going to use them the way that I suggested earlier, that, you know, if Joanna goes once a year and I say, I feel like we need a credit card for her to be going someplace, she can't sign Rick Finley.
Correct.
So you see what I mean there?
It's so a credit
kind of limits, but if we have an auditor's office there, she probably can sign Joanna from Rick Finley.
I doubt that.
I still will be responsible.
See, I doubt that.
The person can answer that is...
How do we do the one that they've got here in the county? How's that? What's name is it under? I don't know.
Commission.
But that's it, right? It says Dade County Commission.
Have you ever used it?
Well, I've never used it, no.
No. She uses it for office supplies.
And obviously when you're doing it to...
Well, my point was it's not in an individual's name.
It needs to be. I think if we look at the...
Well, okay, we've set the wheels in motion. If you don't mind, I mean, then that's what I really wanted to do, is for us to think about this, because I think we need to do more than what we did on the addendum.
Another step.
Yes, we need to tighten this up further.
I think
what we did was good. It tells people, you're going to turn in receipts or you're not going to get paid. That was important. It's in writing now. But how they get these cards, we need to deal with that.
I would like to understand where I think I'm coming from is I would need to know what does the agreement say? Who's ultimately responsible? What is our Arvest card policy? Arvest is our procurement card company.
You probably need to talk with...
or see their policy.
Yeah, you probably need to talk with the lady that comes down.
I can ask the questions, but I would think that, you know, I don't want to sound like a control person, but I think there needs to be somebody saying this we should have or we shouldn't have cards. I mean, I think we have too many cards issued.
Right now, and I can tell you why it came that way.
Do you find something?
Well, here's a conflict in what we just approved, and it's still in here under departmental violations.
Mm-hmm.
A warning will be issued for the first occurrence. The department head will be contacted after the second occurrence. And cards for the entire department may be suspended for a billing cycle. Cards may be canceled up to a year for the third occurrence. What we just sent out is, if you don't do it, you lose your card. So that's...
That needs to be amended.
In direct conflict with us. We need to clean this policy.
The whole policy needs to be rewritten.
Yes.
And I've got one.
Go on.
Let me see that one. Just a second. I've got one with the stated amount. Whenever I went through and looked for this is probably this is the $200 and the $500 that Tressa put in place.
We exchanged that may be $200 to $500 there, but it's we can limit them to $50. We can limit them.
But we never changed the policy book.
That's
This has got our signatures on it, Jim.
Since we went to the Arvest card, so when we switched to Arvest,
it doesn't have mine on it, but it's got yours.
Right, that's what I'm saying.
And with Chuck, right? Mm-hmm. Yeah, that was when we switched to Arvest. We went from the other ones to.
But I would say it probably is a good idea to revise it. Yeah, and I'm sure that Joanna would be glad to do that if that's what you wanted to do. If you guys prefer to do it and you bring it down.
If she wants to do it, it just needs to get done.
No, this is not the one I've got. I've got another one.
I would want to. I mean, Ron, it almost comes down to the commission. If we're responsible ultimately for the bill, the paying of all invoices at the county, okay, then ultimately we've got to say, who gets a card, who doesn't get a card. Okay? And I would also furthermore say, I don't like the idea of departments having a card. I think an individual should be responsible for the card. Otherwise, there could be abuses from an elected official. Not saying there is, but what's to say, you know, that someone makes There's a lot of options or scenarios I can go. I don't want to do that. There's just ways to.
Who'd you get this from?
Nikki just gave it.
Okay.
That and the list of U.S. credit cards.
What I have got is probably an addendum to this. It's probably something we changed.
Is it possible to have Julia start working on this? Why wouldn't we have the auditor's office work on it?
I think that to get some suggestions and recommendations would be great.
Yeah.
To help us button this up, to remove the
conflicting
statements.
Yes, sir.
Still an email to her. If she's not here today, she's here because I'm going to tell her that we want her to start working on that.
Don't start with Sweetie like you do all your stuff to Dan.
Just to Dan.
And don't put Sweetie
I put
there.
Precious for you, don't I, Ron? Is that what I call you?
I don't know, but obviously I call the ladies that work for, I'm the administrative assistants, girls. I can't do that. Did you hear me having that discussion today?
Okay, where are we going to proceed?
So we're going to assign Joanna to start revamping the entire policy, but here's the question. Who approves the card?
Well, and we've got people waiting because we've asked them to sign a new statement. So everybody has received this statement that they're supposed to sign. So I had a couple brought to me. One was yours. Well, I'm a commission. I'm already signed that one. Can I do that? Let's take an act of the commission.
Right.
What does the policy say?
Right.
I don't know. I said, oh, let's find out.
Right. Right.
That's what.
Right now, the policy says department. Yeah, still, you get the question of, hey, would you sign for his or not? I don't know.
Right.
Well, if it's okay with the commission, that's fine. That's fine. But I have to be.
Right. Not ashamed.
Directed here what we want to do.
So, what do you want to do?
I want her to revamp that, but.
Well, she's going to have direction on who approves the card. That's a key part.
It's going to be her ideas instead of yours if you don't tell her.
Right now, well.
I would say it's an act of the commission. That's what I would say.
How about it's an act of the commission upon recommendation of the elected official or department head?
Perfect.
That way, if we want to say no, we can do that. If we want to say yes, we can do that. I'm going to say yes, but it's us that's ultimately responsible.
I know that it would make things easier for you guys. It makes it easier in my department. You know, talk about having separation of duties, segregation of duties. And I always like to see the department that is making the purchase initiate the purchase. The department is asking to pay those.
Why would any elected official in the courthouse? Different elected officials be making purchases in the first place. Why would we not go through the purchasing director
for supplies and stuff?
For anything.
I mean, it should be a travel card.
Why wouldn't we do that? Yes. If you have expenses while you're in training session, etc., that makes
sense.
That's
most of them are. And I don't know the answer to the other question, but I do know that. Probably there are several elected officials who have things in their mind about.
I would love for them to do it the way I do it. If they had to pay for it themselves, they're going to be a whole lot more careful with what they purchase. I think
most of them are.
I believe that. I don't doubt that fact. I'm just.
But at the very least, if there's only, you know, when you've got a department, we have had departments that are big enough that one person should be purchasing.
Rick, I do not want you to let me forget the next time that we make a purchase, next time we pay for the jail bond issue, to ask if we put that on the credit card.
think I've already asked that question very well.
Let's ask it again. It's $1 million. Right?
Sure.
1% is an awful lot of money.
Sure. Well,
that's why we pay Archer Engineering that way. I'm going to tell you, I think that we've already checked that. We can ask again. Because I had the same thoughts as you did. And Joanna called most of some of those people that we have big deals to. Like one of the electric companies, I don't know what, would be glad to take their credit card and charge us a fee.
Defeats the purpose.
We have checked in to say
that was the initial reason for this whole thing to go from the procurement card.
Yeah, it was the same percentage. If we're paying the employee expense, if we can run it through a credit card where there's no abuse, the county receives a benefit of that expense that we're paying for anyway. That was the entire purpose. And if we can't fulfill the guidelines, then we do away with the card.
So we're going to, are you wanting to give her direction on that one item? Is that what you all are saying?
I just typed it up. We'll start with the direction, then we can
go. We already answered. Okay.
Let's put an appointment agenda date to revisit this after this. It'll take like 2 weeks from now.
I was going to tell you, but you're going to have some departments. My first thought is Roden Bridge. I know that there's at least, I don't know how many cars are out there, but there's at least 4 or 5 of those guys that run to get parts and get to bring them back, or run to do this. And it doesn't make sense, I don't think, that they have one person do all that. I think that would cost them a lot of time and stuff if they didn't have at least 3 or 4 that did that. So I think that there are going to be some instances where it makes sense to have a separate car to.
That they have 10.
And that sounds like an issue.
But again, if you're buying your parts from a parts house, they run a monthly bill, $1 billion. And your employee just signs.
And then at the end of the month, we can pay with a credit card.
We can pay with a credit card at the end of the month. That's exactly right.
Yes.
Straight out of this office or whatever, your office.
We could even bid for auto parts if we wanted to.
We do.
Well, then we should have a credit. We should have a charge account with them, I would think.
Well, it depends, because some of those will allow you to charge, and then you pay your credit card at the end.
Then we can shop somewhere else.
Yeah.
What I've said is, I'm sending the note to Joanna, Carbon, and you, me, Nikki, and Jillian, so that we don't lose it in translation here. So. It would suggest that you start the process to revamp the entire policy. We have found that possible conflicts with the policy and the addendum we recently voted on. And then I went on to one recommendation is to change who votes to approve a credit card, making the elected official a recommendation to the commission to do the final approval. And then once you have completed the draft version, please send it to the county commission and the auditor. We will review and then schedule it for a vote. That way we don't lose the translation. We don't lose it for, if it takes her 1 week or 4 weeks. That way we'll get updated. When she gets it done, we'll see a copy of it before we have to put on an agenda. Is that right?
Do you want to set a date for 4 weeks, first of December?
Well, when she's done, she'll send it to you. Maybe in a couple of days, and she'll.
Okay.
Probably.
You know, another thing that this will prevent, violations of bidding law, where it's somebody who's not knowledgeable about that. But I'm not pointing anyone out.
I'm just saying, I think we need an example.
Oh. No. If you wish, sir.
If that would have done that, we would never be having that conversation.
Correct.
Not making it right. I'm just saying that's a loop. That's a
unless, of course, a state audit were performed and were found,
right?
Or a regular audit
found. All right.
Ready? Move on. That sounded good to me. What do you read?
Okay.
Danny?
That's fine.
on this budget, I don't know what you guys have come to, I was not here, but...
We're not specifically doing stuff, we're just making, we're making...
Notes.
Talking about, in notes, things that we may do, what do we want, for example, in legal, are we going to run, are we going to set up a line for, let's say this quietly, litigation?
It's no secret that Kelly's being...
Just a second.
I guess in order to move the process along, I think one of the things that we could do that would maybe make me feel like we've accomplished quite a bit is we could go through and say, we don't need to talk to this department. And I think there's at least four or five of us that we don't need to talk to. And so we could go through and do that, and there may be some that are borderline, I don't know, that you can't decide.
We are going to have to talk to every department, and that I'm sure every department is hoping for, if they have employees, an increase in their employee salary. We're going to address that, but I agree with you. We know that we're probably not going to touch the treasurer's budget. We know different budgets like that that we're probably not going to touch. Right?
And I'm pretty sure if we're increasing people's salary, we're not going to be concerned. So we can eliminate some time.
Let me just bring that up for a second. But part of what we were chatting about while you're not here is the generalities of, do we look at additional personnel or do we look at pay increases for all employees, for example? So we've been doing a lot of discussion about that back and forth. We have the money for one but not the other. What are we going to do? It's going to impact all the budgets. I'm sorry, Jim, you start saying...
Well, I know that our HR department is doing a salary study right now, too. I mean, the question is, do we wait for that study to be done? Because I hate to do something in conflict with what the findings are. I mean, part of the salary study that she's doing is, what positions are you doing, and then what should your pay range be? Not pay what your rate should be, but the range for that duty within the county. So... And that's a timing issue also.
And I think one of the things that I have, I think, asked for several times, and I think would help you guys too, is if we got to a point where if there are going to be raises given at all, the policy could state those only happen this time of year or maybe twice a year. Mm-hmm. And I think that should be easy to live with. I think you could probably get buy-in from all the elected officials that way. And again, it's a policy, and you guys realize that when elected officials get the budget and money they can do it, if they want to get that money, at least within the confines of some budget law there. But I think that you need to leave yourself some options since you're having the salary study done. I doubt seriously that that be done for you.
Let me ask you a question, just a process question. 2 years ago when the prosecuting attorney gave raises, was it 2 years? Yeah, 2 years ago. Did he go over the budgeted salary? He had to go over his budgeted salary amount. What did his budget look like?
He transferred that money of all those raises from his...
From revenue... Where did the expense come out?
That's a separate question than what Jim asked. Did he go over the budgeted amount? He would have had to if, in fact, those monies were paid.
So did he go over the overall budget amount of his department then?
I don't think so, but I don't know.
All right, his question is, I mean, that's part of what we're trying to do is hold the line. I know what you're saying, but I'm also thinking, there's got to be some sort of... We've got to hold the line. I mean, okay, overall, we don't do line item budgeting in 2011. So, therefore,
if I had had a policy in place is that didn't give raises except for the first year in June 6th, June 1st, and he came to me and said, put those raises in. Don came to me and said, he's requesting raises. I say, Don, you tell him you can't do that unless he goes to the commission and gets it approved, because that is not our policy. The way it was, the money was in his budget, he had the money in the other budget, and I had no leverage except for saying, you're going to have to pay for it someplace else. And he said, I can do that. idea.
So what I'm hearing you say is that every department that's under budgeted right now, who's not using their money, in December can come in and say, give my people a raise, because I've got an extra $10,000, and you're saying you couldn't solve it.
Realistically, I couldn't. Now, you guys had the leverage at the beginning of the year saying, we're not going to budget that, but if they've got the money in their budget, I have no authority to stop that.
Somebody has a $100,000 budget, they get $20,000 left at the end of the year, and they give that $20 to one of their employees.
There's certain departments we can't touch because of Missouri law.
As far as the lowering the amount of their budget.
That's how they had the extra money.
There are certain departments, however, that according to budget law, we can put something else into their budget.
Well, we can add expenses, right? They add legitimate expenses that we are incurring the county.
Such as benefits.
Right.
And then suddenly, that amount is made up. So that you are now, what's the word, copacetic with budget law. You did not decrease the budget.
Well, let's have that conversation.
You just placed a legitimate expense in the budget that needs to be
paid. Let's have that discussion real fast, or not, maybe not fast, is what is the downside of making each department carry the full burden rate of that employee, such as benefits? Why wouldn't we extend that benefit expense to that employee? Besides work, why wouldn't we do it?
Other than the fact that we're going to have to do that sometimes in our plan system, I don't see a problem with it. If we're going to do that, we need to have time to do it. It's not
this is the time to do it, but I'm thinking, why should we have a tab on my budget that says fringe benefits when those fringe benefits isn't the county commission?
Well, let me back up. I don't know that it needs a programming change. Isn't that just a line item?
In the budget, yeah.
But our accounting system is built upon each one of those lines. We'll have to build every one of those lines, change every one of those lines. It's quite a bit of input, but it's not something we can't.
But my question is, why wouldn't we do that?
The other thing we have to do is, right now, the way the system is built, the reports that we pull out of there, each one of those lines is going to have to be entered into that report, which is, in this case, is FRX. And so there's more data entered there before we can enter the reporting system. It's not a daunting task. It's not something we could do. So I'm just telling you,
you're given a couple of reasons.
Because here's the thing. The reality is, no offense to any department here, but every department expenditures is understated. Because every employee...
Actually, big time.
Yeah, every employee has a burden rate. And right now, the commission carries the burden rate for every department. And they don't work for the commission, but yet we carry the burden of the benefit. Why wouldn't we make everybody who has benefit... Because the reality is, when a person's hired in another department outside the commissions, for example, the road and bridge. Road and bridge is a bad example. It has a separate tax. But plan and zoning, for example. Plan and zoning sees an increase in salary. The commission sees a line item increase too because of benefits. You know, it's always, there's two adds. And I just don't think that's a real, I think it needs to be, it'd be more accurate. I'm not saying it's inaccurate, it would be more accurate to have the benefits and the fringe benefits in each department that they're paying for.
I can tell you why it hasn't been done that way.
Okay.
It hasn't been done that way because for reporting purposes, it's far easier to lump those together.
Sure.
So what did you pay in loggers? You got one figure. Here's what we pay. What did you pay in Social Security? Here's what we pay.
Right.
That's why.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
I'd say you're right, yes. I mean, it does seem, looking at those things, how much is paid for health insurance?
The state of Missouri State Auditor's Office sets up the budgets that are utilized by third-class counties, fourth-class, and second-class maybe. And they have that separated out. But many counties said, no, we're doing it to the individual offices, and they've done that.
It should be the individual offices. I mean, if you really talk about what does it cost to operate a department,
the cost of the benefit should be tied to that apartment.
All right, now let's say that we've got a budget in an office for let's say we're going to increase it by benefits of $50,000-$60,000. Mm-hmm. You automatically increase the existing budget by that much, or are we going to lower the existing budget by that much and add it back in with the benefits and tell the officer to make a budget with that?
Well, the overall, if we just transferred all the money into the prospective departments, it would not be a net increase to the overall county budget. I understand that. However, your question is, do we reduce each county department's the offsetting amount to that increase? I don't know if some departments could do that.
I'm assuming
they
wouldn't be.
They physically couldn't do it.
They would actually end up, by the time they pay the payroll.
There are some we are paying benefits on that we are not required to.
That's correct.
If we're going to continue doing it, then that's an option, is to transfer it into those funds and to decrease the budget by that much.
Absolutely. I just would like, what we're talking about, Danny, is just, do we put the individual benefits, the fringe benefits, into each respective department?
Okay.
And we're talking about the pros and cons of what, accounting-wise, auditor-wise, and then that's all we're talking about.
One, what we had some discussion about last
year
was one line item for benefits,
which
for the entire...
We have that. We have a whole...
That's where we're at right now. We have
But here's what we're... Then we talked about these individual...
Like...
We had two options last year we considered, and we ended up going with this one where we go.
Lump sum. Basically, we have a tab...
Benefits and one option.
Whatever the tab is...
So what do you want to do with the other?
I'm saying, would we consider putting those benefits... For example, there are certain departments in the county, based off statute, we can't decrease a budget. Okay? But we are paying for benefits in two spots. We're paying for the employee in one spot and the benefits for that same employee in a different spot. And we know good and well it's the combined amount that should be an expense to that department. It's not a true reflection of the expenses of having that department. I mean, we're not having a true reflection of the cost. And see, because then sometimes we outsource and say, we're going to pay a services. We bid a services, and there's a savings because we don't have to pay the benefit, but we don't show reflect it because of the way we do our budgeting, if that makes sense.
Okay, let's talk about the complications that go along with that. Rick knows what percentage to subtract on a monthly basis or add to for loggers, SURF, per employee. Each elected official is going to have to turn that in on a monthly basis. Is that right, or are they going to do that upon?
Both things. We have to do that both things.
Let me restate that. If we budget these amounts of these benefits to each individual department, somehow it comes from that department to get paid to the state, the Fed, retirement centers, etc. How do you do that?
Well, basically, wouldn't you still have one check?
Yes.
Each different department?
And make a data entry?
It'd be
up to their budget?
Each department would be charged so much for that check, whatever their portion was.
It'd be a journal entry of deduction.
No, it's going to be one entry right at the beginning. When she writes the check for Social Security, take example, the amount of Social Security that's due for my office would come out of my office. The amount of Social Security due for your office.
You just add all up and pay it.
It's going to create more work there for sure too. I thought about that anyway. Quite a bit more work there.
That could be handled through the software, but I'm not sure.
I think some of it will be, but only dollar will be on. The one that won't be, I'm afraid, will be health insurance. And that because we have...
Every person's different.
Yeah. We got several just to sell, some with husband, wife, some with husband.
It's set for a year. I mean, you do the, you calculate it every year and it's done.
I may say, yeah, take my wife off. Next month, put my wife back on. Put my kids on.
Yeah, but how?
Take them all off.
You'd be surprised how often. More often. You'd be surprised how often.
Sounds like I'm going to be surprised then.
But it's just part of it. It's part of the.
I used to
do it all by spreadsheets, and we write one check and send it.
I guess at this point, I want to hear you talk about it. You're going to, if you do that, it's going to put quite a lot of load on Don in particular. And probably it's going to put a little bit more load on Dixon and the HR department. A lot of those things come through there, probably. Loggers, surf.
None of that will change, though.
They'll have to be one code, which what comes from what department, I think, maybe.
This is why I say that, just so you know. We're budgeting in Department 105 $2 million in expenses, and it's not tied to anybody. $2 million we're spending, and it just seems like it should be in the respective departments.
I agree with you. I think that there's a lot of departments don't recognize the advantage that they have.
I think a lot of departments hire people on a whim and not knowing the burden rate. They may not think all the time the burden rate that goes along with.
We're in the sheriff's budget, mm-hmm. and I'm not picking on the sheriff, but in the sheriff's budget, by what he's asking for, an increase in salaries and an increase in personnel, what that does to the other budget,
sure
where
is.
We have benefits.
But we have to weigh, I mean, that's part of us weighing it. Every time you get an employee, salary goes up. For example, you said the sheriff, in Department 105, that goes up too.
I mean,
and that's not reflected right now. It's not a clean thing. It just seems like we have a lot of money that's being spent.
I understand how you're trying, what you're trying to do, but I don't know how we get to that. Why? If you tell me to do it, we'll get done. We may have some overtime getting it done, but we'll get it done. But that's. It needs to happen probably on the January 1 mm-hmm. situation if we're going to do it. And we need to budget.
We're going to do it. It has to happen before we finish this budget.
Well,
mm-hmm. yeah.
In the accounting system, it'll happen January 1, I think. But we need to know we're going to do it and get it figured out before this budget's set. Yes.
Because the software and
everything. It's software and just some data entry, tying some things together.
Be a lot simpler if they understood it, though. I mean, it'd be a lot simpler if your office holders, elected officials, understood that. But I'm not sure that I'd like to say I would think it would help, particularly in looking at individuals, too. But I don't think it would. I think most of the office holders do recognize the package that it's in. I say that because most of them, when I talk to them, we talk about benefits and benefits, and most of them will concur with the great benefits that the county account with.
But
I don't think so, Greg. Here's why I respectfully disagree with you, because of what the sheriff's department did with their hiring down here of the lady that they didn't provide benefits for. And then another person that was here in the courthouse that hired a employee, and I don't think that they realized that the benefits went along there because there was a long stretch that didn't supply.
I can tell you, I talked to both of those, and that they knew exactly what they were doing.
Well, so once again, conceptually, opened yet another can of worms. I sent the note to Joanne, so I want you to get a copy of it.
But yes, you guys, if you want to make that decision, like you say, you need to let me know as soon as possible, because like Ron said just a second ago, that will definitely affect how we write and get this budget ready for you guys to approve.
Okay, what other great overriding issues do we just need to chat about? We want to sit down and just start working our way through. That was my...
I would really like to just go through and get your okay on some of them the way they are, other than the fact that we may change for benefits or something like that. I know that you guys are going to look at some of those and say, hey, we're not going to look at this budget. I'm confident that that's going to happen.
Well, I'm looking at Mr. Finley, and it looks like Department 106 we said we're good with. Minus, we have set it down with no increase for an individual in Department 106. So that's a decrease, so are we supposed to meet with them?
If you don't give that raise, then you tell, hey, we can give you raises, and how long can that
But I'm just saying.
What did you just say?
Department 106.
What Rick said. I'm sorry.
If we don't meet, I think you said if we don't approve what she submitted, we have to sit down with her.
Okay, sorry, no, yes, I have the opportunity.
Correct. Correct.
So,
what we're doing is we're starting with everybody with those figures out of there, and then we're going to build back in based upon what we're going to do as far as.
So, I would say 106 is done, but yet we decreased the request. So, are we done?
And here we go, Jim. I'll tell you again, this is probably one of those things you can go to a lawyer and get different opinions.
Right.
Because I think if you read it, it could be read, but you guys set the payroll.
The whole reason I started this is he said, is there some departments that we're not going to touch? Well, that's one, but we
can
touch it.
Okay, apparently there's not any, so we can't help you there right now. Well, no, I'm serious, because we're rolling the salaries back to what they were in 2011. Then we're going to address
107.
Salary increases, and we're going to move
107 forward. We accepted. 107 we did accept with no change.
That's it's going to say that. Oh, Jim. Correct. We accepted just like it is, but we're going to talk about salaries when we make a decision about salaries.
If you raise that, I don't know that the statute will require you to talk to him, but I may be wrong. I need to look at that, but I think if the only time you require that.
No, I agree with that comment. But she has asked, and you put it on the budget form, that what she wants us to do is to treat her employees like others are treated.
Correct.
Mm-hmm. Right. Do remind me before this process is over, which one of them got an increase after we said no last year? I'd like to know that. Not right now, Not right now.
Department 108.
Recorder.
We accepted with no changes. There was no increase in there. He actually did a net decrease. If I am understanding the salaries correctly, it was a net decrease. So technically, we were fine with that. We did not agree to 109. That was a decrease from what the request was. 111 so far was a decrease. We reduced it to what the request was.
On 109?
We said it's last year.
Court reporter.
We said it's last year. So, what I'm saying is, I don't think I don't think we can get you what you want because.
I think that we need to talk to this court reporter. I think that's going to be fine. The reason that was more.
Rick, we're it's probably equipment and.
It was something we approved beforehand.
Yeah, we're going to come back to that. We're just.
Right.
So there's nothing that's been done here.
So we don't have a lot. And so I would say we probably just continue on.
Yeah, we're going to, if we continue today with the general philosophy,
Then we're going to be able to sit down next week and go through this stuff line by line, and I'd be done, I believe, within a day.
It's possible.
And then we'll start meeting with officers. It'll take you longer than a day to initiate any changes that we can give you, but no, it won't either. That's a long time. But.
So we kind of jumped over to 120. That's where we kind of, we talked about 119 yesterday, and then we stopped. We made some notes because in Department 119 there was no salary, so we added the same as last year's salaries. So technically, it's a net increase in his department. So
here's the problem with. Are you talking about 119?
I am, sir.
Here's the problem with 119. We show a decrease. But the circuit shows an overall increase. I'm sorry?
119.
I'm wrong.
That's what it is, 119 is.
First thing, sir.
I was at 120. Okay. I apologize.
I said 120 to start with, and I went back to 119 because we never finished 119.
Missed it. All right.
Once we add the salaries back in there, there's a net increase of approximately $6,000.
Not on my figures.
Well, after we add the salaries back in, it was not submitted.
After you add the first off, salaries weren't submitted, right?
Correct.
And that was $401,699.68?
Correct. The auditor added that number into the budget settings.
But that's just what it was last year and approved last year.
Then there are salaries that are being paid out of another fund, which total for 2010 was $47,000. For this year, Rick said it's less.
Right, because we lost through some true attrition.
Right.
That were affected by that increase. Correct.
Where does that? I mean, that shows up in his special. Where does the special show up on this? Anywhere?
What's the number of that special?
I mean, is there down the road?
Well, it was 90. That's after we look right here.
Okay.
Yeah, well, because the way I understood it, every one of those are available to us.
It came out of.
Buy
check is 901.
Well, quite frankly, on any of those special funds,
or 909,
have their permission to use them.
I know, but
901 or 909, guys.
Before we approve it, 901
or 909, either one. I'm not sure exactly where it came from. It's not detailed in 901, and 909. It is also not detailed, so we don't know.
I'm just getting the paper request this morning. It's 901-000-000.
So do you think that that's fair to assume that that's where we paid it out of in 2011 or 10?
Sure. So this number will have.
Tell me what number that was out of again.
901-30-000. First line item of that 901 fund.
That's not what it paid out of. It paid out of 901-00-000.
But it's.
Down at the bottom.
Down at the bottom. Okay, I apologize. I thought you said 30. I said most of the time they heard you. Hmm. I did.
We have to have an intergovernmental agreement between this officer and ourselves for how much money he's going to transfer to us at the beginning of the year,
right,
to cover expenditures for what is budgeted during the upcoming year. I'm not interested in receiving it at the end of the year.
Pick me.
Sir? Dan? No.
How do we solve this in the future?
That's how.
We do an
intergovernmental agreement.
I think
there's not one in place.
So they don't get the money. We don't spend it for that purpose.
So he would write the individual check to the individual?
I guess so. Okay. And then justify that to...
And are you setting a date?
They won't receive benefits on that. I mean, there's different...
Well, I just want to make sure that... say we do give raises. Let's just say, hypothetically, we were able to budget raises in there, and we make this the ones that are affected whole. How does this... So, in effect, this employee would not see any more raises. They would be bypassed the raise because we would possibly give the money, and that makes them... We pick up the salary line out of them. That makes sense.
It's an option.
Okay. If they want to give another raise because they were, you know, how does that happen or doesn't happen?
Unfortunately, I believe that they have a special fund. And if, in fact, we budget for an officer X amount of dollars and they pay it, he says, you know, I want to use $5,000 more from my special fund for every employee I have. And he gets that approved, if it has to come through us, and we say yes, then he can do that. If he can find, or she, whoever the officer is, with their special fund, can find a way that they can write the checks themselves, they can do it. But then they have to answer to
audit,
outside audit, AG, and the people. And it's going to come down to the people.
Right.
Okay, just help me through this because I'm not getting it right.
Okay,
so if we have a running date here of 7/14/11, and that money that comes for those particular employees came out of 901000000, is that what you said?
Yes, sir.
Okay, and the actuals for that running date are July 14th of $7,814, that cannot be right.
He hasn't paid anything yet, sure.
Okay, at that point, when he has a running report, that's the reason I ask about the date. Are we setting a date that has to be paid?
In the intergovernmental, we're saying that we want full payment by January something, for example, January 30th.
Well, do they receive those funds at that point? What I'm saying is, can they have it by the running day?
Well, he has a fund balance. You remember, his fund balance is $213,000.
Okay, so he can pay it any time.
Yes. He has funds available.
All right.
Not only that, if this budget goes through, Rick set him up where he's going to start 2013 with $168,393.37 that he cannot touch in 2012.
But what I'm saying is, how can we do this?
Is, right?
How can we have actual payments and we got two employees for $7,800?
He hasn't paid us yet.
But, I mean, he has to show it.
He hasn't paid us yet. That's something else.
That's the actual. In 11 approved, we put 260.
But that's where he's paying those employees out of it.
Danny, go one column to your left.
That's where he did it.
There's 260,000 available.
That's where he did it here
budgeted
in 2010.
Oh.
We budgeted the 260. So he has money available to pay it at any time that year.
But he has money to pay it, but as of July the 14th, he hadn't paid anybody.
Correct.
That's correct.
And that's the emails we sent yesterday.
And what he's saying is we still haven't received payment for it.
Although he sent him an email and so he has responded that he'll pay.
Intergovernmental agreement
request this
morning. Tomorrow.
You're wanting to put that intergovernmental agreement together where it says by such and such a date in January.
Correct.
You need to pay those.
Right.
Well, here's what I'm thinking. We need to tie an employee to that.
Yeah.
If you want an employee, we're going to give you an employee. Here's where it's going to be paid from, and you're going to pay in advance.
How does the benefits be paid?
Same way. We will pre-calculate what those benefits are. Put it in the intergovernmental agreement.
Well, then we'd say in that department.
We can do this fund the same way you do.
Good idea.
We can do this fund the same way you do the sheriff's fund if he's going to pay for an entire employee out of there.
Just pay it directly out of that fund.
Pay it directly out of there. And that gets the benefits also.
Yes. Well, there's no reason that it shouldn't relieve GCR.
I agree. I just want to ask you if there's an employee there,
in which case
they should show that they're paying the benefits.
But what the sheriff's not paying out of that fund, unless I'm mistaken, is the benefits. And benefits, so that can work here too.
That's the way I understood it whenever he came in and talked to us, that he was going to pay the benefits right along out of the fund. So
to make sure about all those possible.
How many of these do we have that aren't accurate views of what we're looking at like that, where they've said they're going to take it out of a different fund? Attorney, or the prosecuting attorney, the
sheriff, clerk, county clerk. Don't you have somebody part-time out of there, out of a special fund?
Are the others tied with tech, like tech, their special funds are tech and...
But not tied to an employee.
Has the clerk got two when we go to budget, one in elections and one in staff?
That's what she's asked for 2012. In 2011, she's got a part-time person out of one of the funds.
So we would have at least four or five departments that draw for those special funds that hire...
For personnel.
Personnel. And those need to be identified and kept up to...
Isn't the girl that's in the 21st office being paid through a grant?
Yes, mm-hmm. It goes through the special funds too.
And she has her grant tied with... Okay. Is she, you, or someone else in the office doing the grant reporting on that?
I think Christy is.
All right. Glad that you brought that up. Grants. Are we going to move those into a new person or have a young lady out here add that to her workload?
I don't know if you can add to workload. It's a matter of shifting some workload to create the time to do it.
I guarantee you that if we have a number of personnel take on grants, there's going to be an increased workload. But I caught what you said. It took me a minute. Slowly counting. Okay.
Because you got to remember, we are trying to pick up pieces that we are not doing a good job with right now, such as grant reporting and the control of grants. So we've got to create time, if it's through one of our assistants or whatever, to do that to do the proper reporting. So we're going to have to offload some time from that person, such as, if it's like we're doing for legal too. Legal,
one of the places that grants would get really good is on the person.
So you suggest hiring somebody to do that?
I don't know. Linda was taking care of that, and I know Ron may be overworked. I don't know. But I know that at one point that was pretty much up to par.
I know that Linda was doing some grant work. I can assure you she was doing darn little purchasing.
But she wasn't doing the sheriff's grants.
Bidding. It was awful.
But she wasn't doing the sheriff grants. She wasn't doing the clerk's grants. She wasn't doing energized. She was revving David Redford. She was doing some, but she wasn't doing.
I don't know what you want in grants. Let me go back and see, because I'm
grants reporting.
If it's going to be somebody that does all the reporting back to the feds and stuff like that, you're going to have to get some policy written there, because right now we have Donna does all that in the office. Jimmy does a lot of that in his office.
Less than he did, I guarantee you. Because he's dumped it.
And I guess the point is, I was thinking, rather than thinking of somebody who actually did the federal reporting, was somebody that actually housed the list, make sure that they were all there, made contact with who was supposed to do the reporting, because I'm not confident that maybe it would be better for Donna to do the reporting, because she probably knows more about that man than anybody else. That's just an option.
That might very well work that way. We've got a lot of people, however, that get grants that don't have anything to do with reporting. Not only that, I'm not sure that they would do a good job if given the opportunity, because they're so stinking busy.
Well, it jeopardizes all future grants if you don't get it right.
Stinking busy.
And if somebody was in charge of housing those, you could also say, hey, look, we need to make sure the reporting's done. You need to be checking with that person.
Sure.
And then make a report back to you.
All
While you work that process out, I'm going to excuse myself and go.
Excuse yourself?
Yeah.
Yep.
I mean, you're going to be doing some talk about generalities here, right? Instead of going through here, we'll take it up in the morning.
Yep.
Oh, you're leaving. You're not going to take care of business somewhere else. I would.
Let's declare a 5-minute recess. Or I need a new cup of coffee. Can we have a recess?
Take care of other business.
Okay. Go on. Recess for 5?
We're not going to make any decisions here.
Well, I know what you're
going to do. Stay in a recess for 5 minutes.
Thank you.